Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films from all genres and bring you celebrity interviews every single week.
Very good, Lewis. Short but pointless.
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
And now, here is your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD. Okay, welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Autry, joined by my co-host, JD. JD, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot, and honestly, I'm not very much looking forward to this episode because February's movies that we're about to go over and jump into some popcorn butter, I don't have much excitement about. I don't know about you. I hope you fight me about this.
There's a couple movies that I'm kind of excited about, which maybe you haven't watched the trailers yet, so we might be able to turn you on this. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, this is a new concept for us. So we are basically going to sit down like we're at the movie theater about to watch whatever's in theater tonight. And here's the trailers that are going to play. We're going to watch them. We're going to talk about them. And then we'll move on to the next week. I think I have five total. And before we jump into the trailers, JD, maybe we should stop at the old concession stand, get a couple snackies. What do you think?
I think that's an inspired idea.
Okay. Great. So we've talked about this a lot. I know you're a popcorn guy. So, I mean, are you stopping? Are you getting a popcorn? You getting some butter on that? You eating it plain?
Oh, no. Got to have the butter. Got to have the butter. Got to get it either halfway in or get it layered three tiered. Because if you just get butter just plainly on the top, it doesn't seep and soak down into the bottom kernels the way that it needs to.
Right.
You need butter. And another problem that you have is also the salt unlocks a lot of the flavor from the butter with the popcorn. So sometimes I'll get some extra salt, like in a little napkin. So like when I get halfway through, I'll re-salt.
That's some dedication right there.
I'm saying, man, I would. You know what? I'm sure I've told this story before, but I worked at a movie theater in high school and for part of college. And on my first day, they told me, "You will hate popcorn." Within the first few months of this job, and to this day, I still love popcorn. I love it, man. It's the stuff. I could eat it for dinner.
Okay. Yeah, I will admit, I am not a butter guy. I got to have it plain. I like a little extra salt on there, and I'm probably going to grab myself. I mean, they don't really sell small drinks at a movie theater, so I'm going to go ahead and grab about a 64-ounce Coke and have to piss about halfway through the movie. And then I'm going to go ahead and grab myself a nice little bag of Skittles. And if they don't have those, box a bunch of Crunch.
That's so weird. Skittles just doesn't hit the palate to me the same way that a bunch of Crunch would or a Butterfinger BB alongside popcorn.
Well, I like sweet and salty. So that's where I get my salty popcorn and my sweet tooth from the sugar, the Skittles.
There you go, man. I love it. I'm glad you're a popcorn man, and I know we've talked about this, but there's a science to movie theater eating, which I sort of feel defeated by, like, some of these newer movie theaters that do, like, the dinner. Do you have those by you?
We have one of those, yeah. It's called the Cinema Grill. So they will come out and take your order beforehand, and then they bring it out kind of like as the movie goes on.
And I love the concept of it. But I feel like I'm cheating on popcorn when I'm eating like chicken tenders or like a burger. I'm just like, I look over and I see somebody that has popcorn and I'm like, I know popcorn is judging me. Popcorn is like, how dare you defy me?
Well, last time I went, I got a plate of hot chicken wings. Oh. And I could tell like about two wings in, the people next to me were like, God dang it, guy. Will you calm down on the wings over there? I mean, you can't eat wings like quietly, so I'm like a carnivore.
Masticating over them.
Yeah, they're just like, take a breath. So I would. Chicken wings are not a good idea in a movie theater. I don't. Who thought of that? But okay, all right, man. Well, let's head in and see what we got on the old previews here. We're gonna start in this as you're listening to this episode. This should be in theaters tonight. Probably a late night showing. Birds of Prey is the first trailer we're gonna break down. Of course, this is after splitting with Joker. Harley Quinn joined superheroes Black Canary, Huntress, and Renee Montoya to save a young girl from an evil crime lord. Let's take a look. Don't you dare.
Can I help you?
Why, yes, you can. I'm here to report a terrible crime.
And what terrible crime is that?
This one. Ah, shit. I told this all wrong. Quick history lesson. This all started when the Joker and I broke up. It was completely mutual. And soon enough, I was back on my feet, ready to embrace the fierce goddess within. It's oh so quiet. Now that I cut ties with Mr. J, I'm about to learn that a lot of people want me dead. All alone. And at the top of that list is this guy. And so peaceful. But it turns out that wasn't the only dame in Gotham looking for emancipation. You fall in love. He's after all of us. The kid just robbed him. You betrayed him. You killed his BFF.
What?
You are so cool. You never. And you're dumb enough to be building a case against him. So, unless we all want to die very unpleasant death, we're gonna have to work together.
Sure.
Psychologically speaking, vengeance rarely brings the catharsis we hope for.
Yeah.
Are we ready? You blow up,
hyena in a bathtub?
I named him Bruce after that hunky Wayne guy.
Okay, JD, start us off. What do you think of Birds of Prey?
Okay, so I'm torn because part of me is very pro-Marvel and anti-DC, but at the same time, I totally get and see what they're doing and coming up with for this film. Mm-hmm. I think they've done a fantastic job of portraying just the importance and empowerment of these characters, which is really cool. And they seem to be doing it in such a unique way that I think that even if you're not familiar with Harley Quinn or the DC you or whatever the hell they're trying to call it these days, that there's still some poignancy to see this film. So I think it looks fantastic. It looks cool. I just, being a Marvel fan, couldn't give 2 to 3 shits about it.
Okay. Interesting. I don't really care for her accent. I don't know. It throws me off just a little bit just because it feels so forced with her. But I did like that they have Ace Chemicals in the background. I think it's a really colorful trailer. I thought the soundtrack was pretty awesome. The song that was playing at the end, I don't know who that is, but shout out to that lady on the vocals, because that's a badass song to put in a trailer. And but yeah, I mean, out of 10, I'm going to say this is probably like a 4 for me. Not really. If I go see it, it's going to be because I'm bored out of my mind. And I've seen everything else.
And that's the reason why I saw Suicide Squad. Like, I had no inclination to actually watch that movie, but I was like, it's a movie that's out and I'm bored and I'm hungry. So I'll see a movie.
When in Rome. Okay. Well, let's move on to the next week. So February 14th, there are a couple pretty decent movies on the docket here. And we're going to watch 2 different trailers from this week. And let's start with Sonic the Hedgehog and the Return on the podcast of Stringy Jim Carrey, which we haven't talked about in a while. But it's about discovering a small blue fast hedgehog. A small town police officer must help it defeat the evil genius who wants to do experiments on it. Let's take a watch to Sonic the Hedgehog.
I'm Sonic, a little ball of super energy in an extremely handsome package. On my planet, people were always after my powers. So I came to yours. It gets a little lonely, but that's okay. I am living my best life on Earth. Wah! Ow! Let the plate Sonic! Let the pitcher's mound also Sonic!
Ugh, I can't with that guy.
Uh-oh.
Super Sonic!
Why are you hiding out in my garage?
They're coming for me! If they steal my power, they could conquer the universe. You have to help me.
No, I don't.
Please, it's life or death. Super Sonic!
Good morning, my rural chum.
Mr. Dr. Robotnik.
I'm going to give you 5 seconds to tell me where it is.
Wait, don't hurt him. Road trip? Woo-hoo!
This can't be happening to me.
Oh my God, stop the car right now.
What?
The world's largest rubber band ball? We gotta see it.
No, this is not some fun family road trip.
You're right. It was lame. Gift shop was cool, though.
Whatever this creature is,
I'm going to uncover the source of its power.
Yeah, hey.
I just thought you might like a latte with steamed Austrian goat milk.
Of course I want a latte. I love the way you make them!
We gotta lay low. Let me show you how it's done.
So should we get out of here?
Yeah, time to go.
I always want to do this. Nailed it!
Uh-oh.
Let's go! Here comes the boom!
How are you not dead?
I have no idea!
Oh! Give me a big fat break!
That was an illegal left, by the way.
Aw, this one is cute. Let's keep him. Oh, come on! You've got car insurance, right?
Why would you throw your life away for this silly little alien?
Good time.
He's my friend.
Let's go!
This is my power. And I'm using it to protect my friends.
Let's go! Let's go!
So, you're supposed to be Tom's best friend that he won't shut up about. Well, I don't see the appeal.
That is very gross.
Okay, I'll start us off this time. Oh, man. I'll start with the positives. We're getting some 90s Jim Carrey in his delivery, like the couple lines in there. He's like, I'm going to give you 5 seconds. Like, that's Ace Ventura right there. So I like that. I do light up when I see the Sega sign pop up on screen. I thought the theme song was pretty cool, but other than that, I kind of feel like I just watched the entire movie and all the best parts. What'd you think?
Yeah, I'm torn. For me, Sonic was sort of a go-to franchise for video games. Like, when I was homesick from school, Sonic was the video game that I popped into the console to play. It was my bread and butter. And okay. I'm glad that they made the updates that they did from the first trailer to the second trailer, because the first trailer was horrifying.
Yeah, and I don't know if you see that on the screen here, but there's actually a comparison right here.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah,
night and day. My God, it looked like a gross fox.
It's ridiculous. Like, yeah. I'm glad that they took to heart the fans' concerns over the property. But to me, like, I watched this and I can't help but think, is this not like the late 90s again, where we're doing Rocky and Bullwinkle movies, where we're doing Dudley Do-Right with Brendan Fraser?
Right.
It just gives that vibe of just this campy, cash-grabbing comedy that I don't know that I want to take part of. And I love Sonic. I he's adorable. And if okay. there's a surprise cameo from Tails or Knuckles in it, I'm sold.
Okay. So out of 10, where are you putting this one?
I'll give it a 4 because I think that a lot of people will appreciate this and get a lot of enjoyment from it.
Okay. I'm going to go 7 with a caveat. The caveat being my 7-year-old wants to see this. And if I'm going to have to sit through a movie with my son, Jim Carrey is a huge bonus. So that gets added points for me.
Which is exactly why they made the movie with who they made it with.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Okay. Well, let's stay in February, the 14th, that weekend, and let's check out the horror comedy movie from Blumhouse, Blumhouse's Fantasy Island. Have you seen this trailer yet, JD?
I have not. This is my virginity being taken, swept from me.
I feel like this might win you over a little bit. Let's take a watch.
I hope you're ready.
There is an elevator. In the elevator, you press the button to the floor with no name. Behind those doors, there's a life you always dreamt of.
The plane, it's here. This weekend, you will be our guests.
Here, anything and everything is possible.
No service. It's not everything is possible.
Good evening. I'm Mr. Rurik. Let me officially welcome you to Fantasy Island.
Curious how this all works.
What if your fantasy involves a person from your life?
Holograms, like Tupac.
What if it's somebody who died?
Tupac.
So, what's your fantasy?
Revenge on a childhood bully. Just
want it. I see it. Your life is about to change. I got it. Yeah, I want it. I hope you're ready.
That is a really good hologram.
There is only one fantasy per guest. And you must see your fantasy through.
It brought her back to life.
No matter what.
Oh my God. That's really her. Work. This is not what I meant.
What the hell is this place?
People die here.
The island's twisting what we asked for.
We weren't brought here to have our own fantasies.
I want it. I got it. I want it.
We were brought here to be a part of someone else.
I got it. I want it. I got it.
I'm your friend.
I've always wanted to hear you say that.
Okay. JD, we popped your cherry with the trailer. What'd you think?
You can see my face right now, so you know all about what my response is going to be.
You loved it.
No, I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. To me, it was a mixture of I Still Know What You Did Last Summer with Cabin in the Woods.
Sure.
With feelings of some like Island of Dr. Monroe in there. Or Moro? I think it's Moro.
Hey, potato penis.
Hey, it's been a while. I don't know. There's just something about it. Like the cast, I think, was fantastic. Like there's a lot of great actors in there and there's a lot of excitement that happens and the drama that occurs between the interactions and the situations. But I don't know. Like it just, I was expecting something more contained and it just felt bigger than it needs to be.
Okay. I like that though, man. That's what I love about Halloween and Friday the 13th. It's contained. They're out in the middle of nowhere. I love the fact that they're brought here. They think it's for their fantasy, but really it's like being dropped off on this island with all these rich people are like that want to poach a giraffe or an elephant. Like they're just here to kill these people and whatever their fantasy is. So I don't know. I'm interested in this. I don't think they've done a movie like this yet. There've been similar ones, but not with this exact premise.
Cough. Hostile. Cough.
Yeah. God, but do they? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay. I'm not taking any merit away from what they've created in this project and what the director and writer put together, but everything that you spill out with excitement to me is just kind of redundant. And it's,
okay.
And even so, like, you know, we saw in big plain letters at the beginning from the producers of Get Out. Is that not essentially the plot to Get Out as well?
Yeah, you can see it's actually above the title, from the producer of Get Out in Halloween. But yeah, I mean, I've really come to enjoy these Blumhouse movies. I kind of like them for what they are. And I don't expect to go there and watch an Academy Award winning movie.
No, so, and I'm fine with it. And I'm fine with it too, because I think that it's about time that horror got back to its roots, where it gets to put out movies like this that are similar to others, but unique in their own delivery.
Okay.
I mean, if at the end of the day, Friday the 13th, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, Hellraiser, Child's Play, they're all the same movie.
Right.
But they're all very unique in their delivery.
Okay. Great. Okay, well, let's move on to the next week. We're in February 21st, and there's a couple of movies that are coming out that week. Emma, which I really don't have a lot of interest in. It's based off of that Jane Austen novel, which I've never read. But there's another novel book on here, Call of the Wild. JD, do you remember having to read this book in high school or middle school?
I do. I remember the Call of the Wild.
Okay. Great. Well, yeah, I mean, the trailer came out for this. It has Harrison Ford in it. Like, that gets me a little bit excited. You know, we'll take a look at the cast and everything, but let's go ahead and watch the trailer first and get some feedback on Call of the Wild.
The Yukon is a dangerous place. You never know what's coming. I came up here because I didn't want to be around anyone. And then I met Buck. He was a dog like no other. He'd been spoiled.
Out! Come on, Buck!
And he'd suffered.
Come on!
But he could not be broken.
I don't know where you came from, but I know where you are now. Welcome to the last place on the earth.
I should let him have a minute. Doesn't look like he's ever seen snow before. How do you feel about an adventure beyond all maps?
We could go, you and I.
Where no one's ever been before. See what's out there.
Enjoying this.
I never saw him believe in anything as much as he believes in you.
What do you say, Buck? Adventure of a lifetime. Sleeping for 2 days in my bed.
Okay, JD, I'll start us off here. So yeah, I mean, this was a book that I did read in high school or grade school at some point. I do remember really liking the book, and when I saw the trailer come out initially, I was really excited, and then I noticed that the dog is completely CGI. And I completely lost all interest. Like, I hate the fact that this dog is not real. I think that adds a huge element to movies about dogs, like Homeward Bound and, Lassie. Like, I mean, that ruins it for me a little bit. What did you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like that there's a lot of bad CGI that goes around in movies like this, but I'm a little bit more positive about this movie than I am about some of the other movies that we've watched trailers for. partly based on, you know, the cast. We have Omar Sy, we have Bradley Whitford, we've got Karen Gillan, Harrison Ford obviously is tremendous, but as you may know or may not know, I'm a little bit of a literature nerd, so I'm a fan of Jack London's writing. I think he does a good job of conveying stories, and from The Call of the Wild, White Fang, and then even The Seawolf, which is the name or the basis of one of my favorite bands, Seawolf. I really appreciate what he does and what he establishes in his work. And shit, Michael Horst from Twin Peaks is in this too.
Okay. Yeah, he sure is. I mean, going through the comment section here on this YouTube video, almost all of them are talking about the dog. I mean, here's one here. 90s movies were the best. They used real dogs. Modern movies look like fake CGI. Can't wait for the VFX artist reaction video about this one. No animals were filmed in the making of this movie. Like, is that going to be a line that they put on at the end? Like, that they didn't use any real animals like they normally do? God, look at this one. Looks shockingly bad. Use real dogs, for heaven's sake. God, I think that's a problem, man. They can't do anything about it now. So we'll get what we get. I mean, I do have an interest in this movie because I read the book. I like the book. The last time I found myself in a theater from a book that I had read was Hearts in Atlantis. And it was a fun experience. It's not one of my favorite movies, but like throughout the movie, I kept going, oh yeah, I remember this from the book. I remember this from the book. So I haven't had that in a long time. So I look forward to seeing this one and see if that pops back up some folder in my memory that I didn't know was on my hard drive.
Yeah, that's such a great way of putting it.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'll probably get that one like maybe a 6 out of 10. So what about you?
Yeah, I think 6 is a good pin to put into this one. It's not going to be a fantastic film. It's not going to win any awards, especially for its visual effects, as the comment section of YouTube just blows up about. But the story is solid. The acting cast is solid. And it has some enduring moments and endearing moments. So for sure, I think people will probably see it. I'm sure your kiddo probably wants to see it. If he hasn't seen it, he will want to see it.
Yeah, he actually loves dog movies. So yeah, I mean, I don't think he'll care about the CGI like me. So he's not going to sit there and bitch about it. He's just going to enjoy the movie. And yeah, it's probably something he does want to see for sure. So, all right, well, let's get to the last weekend of February, and we've got a horror movie on the docket here. It is The Invisible Man. I don't know. Have you watched this trailer yet?
No, but I've seen a lot of, I've seen some clips and some GIFs from the trailer and a lot of murmuring going on about it. I don't know what to expect. I don't know. I like the lead. I'm a fan of Peggy Olson, so.
Okay. Yeah, and this comes from Lee Wainwright, which we've talked quite a bit about in our Saw movies in our archives. And this is his third movie that he's directed. He did Insidious Chapter 3, Upgrade, and now The Invisible Man. And looks like he's in pre-production to direct Escape from New York remake, John Carpenter movie. So that's exciting. But I do love Lee Wainwright's writing, so I'm actually pretty excited about this one. So let's go ahead and let's watch the Invisible Man trailer.
As the attorney representing Adrian's trust, I'm required to read a prepared statement. Cecilia, although our relationship was far from perfect, I thought that you would talk to me rather than run away.
Are you okay? Open the door! What happened to him?
He cut his wrists. Per his final wishes, you're getting $5 million. Contingent, of course, on the fine print. He can't be ruled to be mentally incompetent.
It just doesn't make any sense.
What?
Adrian wouldn't kill himself.
Listen, you're getting your freedom back, okay? Don't let him haunt you.
Hello?
Yeah. scared of him anymore.
He was a sociopath, completely in control of everything. He said that wherever I went, he would find me, walk right up to me, and I wouldn't be able to see him.
Are you okay?
Someone sitting in that chair. I found something that can prove what I'm experiencing.
You need help.
Adrian is dead. I went to his house today. He's not dead.
I have a pile of ashes in a box that would disagree with you.
He has figured out a way to be invisible.
Only thing more brilliant than inventing something that makes you invisible is coming up with the perfect way to torture you, even in death. Adrian's true genius was how he got in people's heads.
Don't come any closer. Hey!
I'm not crazy. Please listen to me.
You're saying the person trying to kill you is in the room right now, but we can't see him?
He's listening. Where are you?
Where are you? Show yourself! Come on! Do it!
There you are.
Okay, JD, start us off. What'd you think?
So this is honestly probably the trailer that I'm most impressed by.
Yep. I'm on board with that for sure. I think this is super original with just the idea in, you know, where I complained about the last trailer with their use of CGI. I actually think this is a brilliant use of CGI. With the breath and the handprint on the shower door and the imprint of him on the couch or the sofa chair there. Like, I love that stuff.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I think they've done an impressive job of sort of assembling what those shots are and to create the drama. And, you know, from a writing standpoint, it's a unique opportunity to create different levels of tension.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to prescribe them to an unseen force is fantastic. And, you know, obviously this is based loosely at some level to the H.G. Wells' original film,
right,
or his book. And we've had film adaptations to it before. And it's a very, you know, pre-modern American novel and story. And the concept is so good. And I want to bring attention to the fact that there was a porno version of The Invisible Man called The Erotic Misadventures of the Invisible Man, which came out many years ago, which I stumbled upon when I was a child. And if you should look it up, because the cover is hilarious.
Okay.
And it always makes me laugh. The Erotic Misadventures of the Invisible Man. Because as like a kid growing up and going through testosterone and, like, you know, puberty, if you were given the power to be invisible, what's the one thing you would do? You would probably, you know, go to the girls' locker room.
Oh gosh. Well, little Porky's action there, looking through the peephole.
Little peephole.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's an interesting take. One thing I noticed throughout the trailer, Elizabeth Moss, who plays the lead character here, she does an awesome job. Like, throughout, you can see the progression throughout the movie of her being like normal, her being a little bothered, and her just completely off the hinges. And at one point she's got, I mean, her eyebrows are doing some Jack Nicholson work with her eyebrows. And I was like, that's impressive. I mean, it's using your whole facial structure to, you know, convey to the audience like what you're going through at that moment. So yeah, I think she looks great in this. And the guy that plays the cop is Aldous Hodge. I've seen him in a bunch of things. He's always really good. So I really like the cast as well.
Yeah, I feel like this is one that's going to, I don't think it's going to perform fantastic at the box office. February is typically a lull month as it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's going to probably receive some favorable reviews and do a decent job of bringing Blumhouse back their, Butterfinger BBs.
Yeah. Is this Blumhouse?
It is.
Yeah, it is Blumhouse and Universal. That's cool. So yeah, it's a Universal Monster Project. So they must have had to get the rights from Universal and then co-produced it. So that's cool. Awesome. Yeah, only a $7 million budget. This movie's going to kill it. I mean, for whatever they paid for it, it'll probably do, you know, 5-6 times that budget easy. So they should make out like gangbusters on this one.
I would think so. The competition is not fierce in February. Like I feel like Sonic is going to be the disappointment. That's going to be the flop. And that'll be the end of the franchise. I feel like Fantasy Island will do fine. I feel like Call of the Wild will do make back its money. But I feel like maybe, if anything, this is going to be the surprise that actually performs better than expected.
Okay. Well, this was fun. Taking a look at these different movies that are coming out in February. Let us know what you guys are excited about. If there's a trailer that we didn't cover, or you know, one that we just talked about that you are excited about, you know, watching now that we've kind of broken it down, let us know. Tweet at us on Twitter at Back in Time Pod, and we will be back next week. We actually have a really exciting interview lined up should drop on Tuesday. But we have the producer, Richard Myrick, from the Netflix show The Toys That Made Us. So it's a great interview. We had an awesome time talking with him. You guys are going to hear that next week. And then we'll have a retro episode. We're putting out, what did we decide? It was Heavyweights. So we're going to put back out our Heavyweights episode, which was one of our earliest podcasts that we did. So we'll take a listen to that. And then the week after that, we're going to have our top five list. And then Billy Madison to round out the month for Adam Sandler month. So thank you guys for following and subscribing. If you're not subscribed, you can do that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, IGTV, and YouTube. You can follow me at KAutry29. JD is at UnjustJustin. But for now, we are out of time. Time to hop back in our car, head back home, and we will talk to you guys next week with the producer from The Toys That Made Us. See ya.
Seriously, look up The Erotic Misadventures of the Invisible Man. At least it's on Amazon. Enjoy it.